Hello, listeners. The energy that we are feeling into today, that Joe and I would like to chat about and present to you is about how we deal with stress, how we even perceive stress, what might stretch us in those ways that feel expansive. What might take us over the edge or feeling like we're fucking standing on the edge and about to like fall off the precipices into like who knows what, and what that does to our nervous system, and also what kind of states or resources we can tap into that are already available to us, whether we are completely laxed in our comfort zone and are feeling called to stretch it a little. For growth and expansion, I know, fulfillment, and what other resources we might have when we're on the cliff and we need to bow ourselves out somehow or catch ourselves once we've like plummeted to wherever it is. So I feel like this is an edgy topic to talk about, and pun intended. And I love the fact that Joe, just last week, you presented to our student body a topic about resilience and being resourceful, self-sourced, self-resourced. So you already have this content fresh in mind. So can I now hand it over to you and say where your thoughts have been about maybe just the collective right now? Like, where are you seeing people playing with this idea of resilience?
Yeah. It's interesting because there were so many people on the call who had a very fascinating sort of idea of what it meant to be resilient. And I think that it's important to remember that like resilience helps us cultivate so many different traits, right? Like it's really easy to blanket it and make it this generalized like, oh, resilience, but like, what does that help us create, right? Like it helps us be more resourced. It helps us to create more charisma. It helps us to create strength. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But it helps us to really tap into other resources that maybe we wouldn't have had that challenge not come up, right? It helps us to become flexible. And so tapping into that flexibility and like, not just, you know, not just mental flexibility, but emotional flexibility and our psychological flexibility and our nervous system flexibility. So all around helps us to create flexibility. And you know, I think that there's like so many extremes that we could sort of fall into and that we see all the time on social media, about, you know, like what's too much, self-reliance, or where we're like, there's very much of this, like, no, we need full on community. So we're consistently relying on others. And there's not a lot of that like self-sourcing that happens. So as with anything, right, I think like a balance needs to be created, and we all have a different balance. Like it's not going to look 50-50 all the time for everybody. We all have a different equilibrium for, I think, what we need. Right.
And
go ahead.
Sorry, our comfort zones are different. Like our comfort zones are different shapes and sizes, and we have different environments within those comfort zones. And sometimes those comfort zones aren't even very comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's what we're accustomed to. Carry on. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. Exactly. And and that's the other thing too, right? To think about, are your comfort zone, as you know it right now, wasn't always that, right? It was something different and something different before that and something different before that. So it's always growing and expanding. And when it grows and expands, we build resilience. And also remembering stress isn't inherently a bad thing. If we're always in a state of stress, that's obviously a different story, right? I mean, I'm not like necessarily always going to be referring to extremes, but like, I think that when we can recognize that stretch point of, ooh, that's fucking uncomfortable. And I'm working through it.
I think comfortable with the stress. It's like opposite. So I've had workaholic tendencies for eons, learned that from my workaholic father. And we just had a long weekend here and I felt uncomfortable taking a third day off. I feel uncomfortable taking 2 days off in a row. It's like, oh, but when I go back to my desk, there's going to be more to do. Like there is this discomfort with relaxing and letting the to-do list wait. So my comfort zone is a stress zone and I'm learning to work with letting my nervous system know that I'm not going to die if I don't show up to my desk one day. Like work hard, make the money. Like this is still a thought that I'm catching myself processing and like entertaining, paying attention to regularly. And when I'm at my desk, I actually feel relaxed because I'm doing the thing. Like I'm committed to my to-do list and I'm progressing and it feels like things are happening. And if I'm just on the couch and my son tells me, just read a book for fun, mom. Like, why are you always reading nonfiction? I'm like, because I'm researching, because I'm teaching, you know, like I need to continue learning. And it's like, whoa, you're doing this to yourself. I'm like, yeah. That's what I'm comfortable with. So on one hand, stress is my body's way or it's our body's way of letting us know that something needs to change. Something needs to be paid attention to. Something needs to be tended to, whether it is, Vicky, you really need to be at your desk today to do the thing because there's a deadline. Or Vicky, you really need to sit on the couch and read that fiction novel because we need homeostasis here. Like we need to have the other side of things. So can we speak to stress being a natural response? The body is signaling to us when we need to establish homeostasis or keep that maintained. Because one, would be dead if we didn't have stress, but two, I feel like if I continue in this way in the path of workaholism, I'm losing years on my longevity anyway. So when does stress benefit us? And how can we listen to our bodies in a conscious, aware way and really listen and then act on that? In other words, how can I sit on the couch and read a novel without feeling guilty about it?
So I see that you are worried about not becoming immortal.
There's that, yeah.
Stress will make me mortal. So that's interesting, right? And I think like it's, we were just talking about interrelationship focusing yesterday, but it's like really important to do that work of building a relationship with your sensations, with your inner voice, with your intuition, like all of the fucking shit that's going on inside of you. Right? Because there's so many, like your ego voice probably sounds different than the voice of your intuition, right? So I also think that stress is communicated in different cadence when it's a genuinely like we are in the red zone right now versus
life-threatening situation alarm bells.
Right, exactly. Versus this is uncomfortable, right? I mean, so Arizona heat, for example, it's granted, we don't get as hot as Phoenix up here, but triple digits, you know? So walking outside, getting in the car, like, you know, 100, 105 degree day, it's uncomfortable sitting in the car, right? But my response is not like, oh my God, we're going to die. Like, you know what I mean? So recognizing those sensations, recognizing the voice of stress when it is like that alarmist, hello, hi, we are going to die if this doesn't change, or I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to do this. You know, like we all have that voice, right? When we're, you know, stretching in a way that isn't aligned with our comfort zone. I'm not talking about our zone of safety. I mean, like our comfort zone, and especially when we're in complacence, I think that's another time where we feel like, I have to do this extra thing, but I want to be lazy, you know? So again, like finding the balance of I'm going to sit and read this book for fun. And maybe I'll make some time over here to do the research thing. So I think it's always going to be a balancing act no matter what. And I think that balance is always going to shift depending on what's happening in life. You know,
I made a realization just now hearing you speak in regards to left brain, right brain dynamics, if they ever work together. They're always working together. Like I'm always measuring my intuitive hunches with my logical smarts. I am, even when I create, even when I'm in like an intuitive creative process, which seemingly is all right brain, I'm still making a strategy about that. Like I'm still experiencing it in a linear fashion to a degree. So I feel like left and right hand brain were always supposed to work together. I don't believe they were ever built to be segregated. However, I feel like we've been brought up in society to think of ourselves as only I'm a really creative right hand, like intuitive person. And this is just what I do. And the whole left brain thing doesn't like come naturally to me. And already my voice is more feminine. And then I hop into my left brain. And I'm like, I'm making dinner tonight and I'm providing for the family and I need to do this and that. And I'm making a bed. Literally, I put a kitsy bed together tonight. So I'm like, left brain, how is it all going to happen? And right brain's like, you're going to need my intuitive genius to help you out on this. But if I perceive myself to be only left brain, then I'm going to be like in my convicted stance with that, like conviction, like stand with conviction in that. Like I'm a left brain person. I can do this. I can read the instructions. So I feel like we've been taught to either be one or the other, to the point where left and right has actually become like a point of segregation in communities. Whether it be politics or education or the corporate world, like we can still have right brain creative corporate organizations and then your left brain corporate institutions. So why is it that we are separating these two beings that naturally should be dancing together? We have one brain, two parts. You would think that they'd be working together. I lie. We have three brains. We have brain all throughout our nervous system. We have the gut, heart, and head. Oh, that's going on to a whole other conversation now. But so interesting that we've been taught to not let them dance together. And what would happen if we were to play with that more?
Right. And like, I think that goes into sort of the topic of like, what are subconscious mind just naturally does, which is like generalizing things and labeling things, and these things go into these little boxes so that we can make logical sense. But I think there's been that overemphasis. I'm like, of course, yeah, sure, fine, whatever. We can be like, oh, it's capitalist society, blah, 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 whatever. But I don't want to go there, right? Like, I feel like that's fucking low-hanging fruit, whatever. I mean, not that it's not a topic to be talked about, but you know, like it's the easy, I feel like it's the easy thing to be like, well, but we live in a capitalist society and that's what we're supposed to do. And it's like, okay, cool. But also I don't feel like this in this context, maybe that's been the thing for, you know, time out of mind, but what about before that? Right. Like there were still survival things that we needed to do when it just looked a little bit different.
Like we trusted our primal instincts more and our gut instincts more. Like that was more of a prevalent resource that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I think it's interesting because I feel like for as much as we are collectively wanting to bridge gaps and push the boundaries and explore all these different things and be open to all these different things, we still fucking put a lot of emphasis on labeling and boxing things, and we're still doing it. Like we're like, let's push the boundaries over here and like let's be open and receptive to all this stuff and let's label it and box it and like perpetuate that. So it's very fascinating. And again, it's just our natural tendency, like our subconscious mind naturally does that. So it's not a bad thing. It's how we make sense of things. And it's also up to us to be in, like you were saying, Vicky, like that thought catching mode of, oh, wasn't that interesting? I'm doing this thing, but I really want to like have a different outcome, but I'm still doing the same thing.
So listening to all parts of self is key. It's vital, in fact. I'm getting more horny for somatic sorcery every fucking day. The more and more I practice it, I am like, how did I practice for all these years without consciously acknowledging that this was a thing? I'm just like, what does your heart say? What does your gut say? And like, I always felt like that was a thing, like, hey, we should maybe possibly listen to all these parts of ourselves, but taking that fully seriously into a practice. So what if heart, gut, mind, three brains, what if they were the voices of reason and instinctual intelligence and love and compassion and acceptance and reasoning and foresight? Like, if we've got all that in here, I'm fully resourced. Like, I can have a full-on conversation with all those parts of myself and maybe bring in the superconscious wisdom as well, because higher self, interdimensional selves, they know a lot of shit too. I am fully resourced. I know everything. And if I want to talk to all interdimensional selves, I've actually done everything as well. Like everything on the planet, in the cosmos, you name it, I've done it. So knowing that I'm fully resourced, remembering that, how can I now access the most resourceful things? Like, okay, if I've got a whole plethora of tools and resources, and if I'm currently in a state that's not very supportive, for an example, oh no, I have to think of a really good example here. Okay, I'm going to think of one of the darkest times in my life when I was a new mother and I was experiencing hormones that made me think suicidal tendencies. And I was like experiencing full-on depression. At that darkest time, it would have been difficult for me to have resourced hope and inspiration and resilience. Like, I didn't feel incredibly resilient. I felt despair, weakness. I felt like I'd been taken over by darkness, what I now know to be psycho-spiritual crises, like the dark night of the soul. So if I can't like access that higher, elevated, expanded state of hope just yet, because that would be way out of my comfort zone. That would like, it wouldn't even be able to be achieved in my mental reasoning, right? Even though my heart would not be possible. Gut's like, you'll fucking burn out if you try it. Like something's gonna snap if you try to force that to happen. You're in despair. A very contracted state. So what if I'm in that contracted dark state and the first thing I can look for is maybe disappointment? Maybe it's like a willingness, or can I be disappointed with where I am? Yeah, that feels, I can do that. Am I willing to maybe accept? Oh, fuck, I don't know, not yet. Like that would be my push, right? But I'm willing to allow myself to experience disappointment. I have the courage to do that. So I'm already starting to tap into more expanded states, even though you would think disappointment is not an expanded state in comparison to despair, it fucking is. Yeah. So comfort zones, where does it become like the snap? Like it's going to break. And how can we stretch it, warm it up a little, lube it? Think of a rubber band, like if I'm warming it up and if it's got some oil in there, it's easier to stretch. It's not as harmful as what it would if it was dry and cold and it would just snap. Because that can make or break someone's life. And it nearly did for me. So resourceful states, jam on that.
How can I follow that up? No, that is like on point, because I think that we are so, we really want, especially when we're in those moments, right? Or sometimes even when we're just like vaguely uncomfortable, we like want the opposite of what we're experiencing. And so that wanting of like, I don't want to be here right now. And yet, and we won't, and I'm not saying acceptance, right? Because that's a fucking bridge to be gapped. Like we sometimes just need to take small steps to get there, right? Like you can't go from 0 to 100 sometimes just instantaneously. So what's the next thing? Like you were saying, like, can I have the courage to feel disappointed and like recognize that that's where I'm at right now? I won't always be there, and I can't know, like hope doesn't necessarily feel like in my grasp right now, and I know it's possible, but it's just not where I am.
Also, all of us quantum physics geeks are going to be like, but it's all happening at the same time, and you can't just go from 0 to 100 instantaneously. In fact, you are everywhere instantaneously, simultaneously. Mm. There is no gap to be bridged, but it's what our mind, subconscious and conscious minds, are paying attention to.
Right.
That's what our experience is. That's why our experience is always subjective.
Mm-hmm.
That's our perceived experience. That's what we are subjectively perceiving. So I just wanted to pop that in there. Like, we're not saying you can't go from 0 to 100. Like, we know quantum physics.
Yeah, yes, totally.
That happens. But when we are in it and having a perceived experience, that doesn't seem possible in the moment. Like, we have to have all of our minds on board. And if our conscious and subconscious minds are like, I'm not buying it, I'm in despair and this is my experience right now and I'm not budging. Super conscious is like, you know what hope, you know what love, you know what optimism looks like.
Yeah. And it's hard to hear that voice sometimes when we're in it, when we are in the depths, it can be really, really challenging to like hear that voice. And so I think what's fucking imperative is cultivating relationships with, just like you were saying, we have head brain, heart brain, gut brain, you know, our intuition, our super conscious mind, like all of these different facets. Cultivate relationships so that we know what they sound like. because it's really easy to be like, oh, I'm like leaning into my intuition, but it's my ego actually that's delivering this information. So it's really important, I think, to be able to differentiate between those sources of information, and also to collect the data, listen to the data, and then kind of go from there. And I think we often just rely on our one instinct or another. And that's like where we're comfortable going of like, oh, you know, like this is how it's going to be forever. And something I was saying to everyone on the call when we were talking about like resilience and all of that was, when was the last time that you thought to yourself or said to yourself out loud, like, this is hard. Like, this is hard. And some people were like, every single day I say that to myself. And other people were like, oh yeah, like it's often, but not every day. And when it came time for me to answer the question, I was like, it's been a long time. The last time that I said this is hard was when things were were crazy in life at the beginning of the year. And I it was just like bizarre things going on that I was like, what is happening? How? That was the last time. Things had to get so chaotic that I was like, huh, this is hard. And so, but before that, I can't recall the last time that I was like, this is hard. And I think that we get in those moments, right, where we're like, fuck, this is frustrating. This is stretching me. And we can sometimes like overemphasize, and we like get dramatic, and we get like, oh, I'm going to die because X, Y, Z, because things aren't going my way. And I think that like also is a part of coming to like balance of when is it really hard, or when am I like over exaggerating just a little bit about like how I feel right now. And that's not to say I negate, you know, whatever it is you're experiencing, but just like Lexi was saying on our call on our PD meeting, like when I really think about this, this is how I feel, but when I'm dramatic, this is how I feel. So noticing, when am I really being dramatic and over exaggerating? Because when we do over exaggerate, like that makes a difference to our mind, right? Then we're inflating what might be going on.
And if we inflate over time, for example, if I believe that I can't read a novel because I'm going to experience guilt, then I'm going to avoid reading that novel because I don't want to feel the guilt. But can I just like maybe allow myself to feel the guilt? Like, why am I denying myself of that experience or trying to avoid it? It's like stress is trying to make me look at that for a beautiful reason. Maybe, hey, Vicky, listen to your body. You've got an ulcer in your mouth. I think you're stressed right now. So if I can be with guilt instead of avoiding it, I get to resource something there. I get to tap into something there, maybe a strength or a gift. When I say gift, I mean like a treasure, like a golden nugget of myself, an aspect of myself that I hadn't taken the time to discover or have a conversation with yet. What if there is a little character, a little archetype of my being sitting still in a room with a novel in hand saying, pay attention to me. I've been carrying guilt and it doesn't feel good. And I need your help to come and help me be with guilt, accept guilt. Can you love this guilt that I'm holding? Can you love me? Oh, far. Thank you. Coaching with Joe Zarita.
That's interesting, right? To talk about it, because I think we're like, so prone to going down self-exploration paths again to label and like claim this, that, the other. And like, we do deny ourselves of those things that are uncomfortable, but it's part of the human experience. And maybe I know that like, there's a focus on, we can learn, we can learn so much from the stress, from the challenge, from the dark nights of the soul. And we can also just fucking experience it without making it mean X, Y, Z. But it's also how we cultivate relationship with ourselves. Like, it doesn't have to be any more profound than that. Then, oh, there's this part of me, like you were saying.
I just identified too that I was trying to label that part as needing to be healed. But what if that part is just always the part that experiences guilt, because I get to experience everything simultaneously because I'm a quantum dynamic, forever evolving, never stagnant being? Like, why is it guilt that I'm not wanting to accept as a part of my experience when it's a contracted state? If I experience guilt, then I can also experience the opposite side of its coin, which could be reverence. I'm trying to think of like an expanded state that's like far up there on the scale. Like, could that be bliss? And why am I like striving for, I'm like clawing at a rock face wall, like I'm trying to strive for expansion as if I'm running away from contraction. But I know one comes with the other. I can't just have one or the other. I'm human. I need to naturally accept that that is the full experience. That is what being human is. And that's what being aware to our full humanness is. This is embodiment. We talk so much about ascension.
Yeah.
Awakening and like the psycho-spiritual growth, which is legit. Like, I fully am an advocate for it. And I'm also an advocate just as equally for descension, which is essentially embodiment. Like, are you willing to be human? Or are you striving to be quote-unquote spiritual? Like, can we be human and be spiritual, because that's our natural state? Like, can we all just name it and declare it and be okay with all of that, with the full experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh.
And that was another part. I like went on a tangent on this call. I was like, I feel like this is tied in so much to perfection, because we're constantly looking to do that and everything needs to be perfect. And like, I can't show up unless I'm perfect. I can't do X, Y, Z unless it's perfect or right or correct, whatever. But it's like, practice is the ritual. Practice is our way to get to where it is we're going, right? Like, excellence, not perfection. Like, what if perfection isn't something we're supposed to experience on this plane? Maybe that comes elsewhere. And we're so caught up with whatever it is that we're striving towards that we're not here. We're not in the present moment. And like, I'm fucking for sure guilty of that. Like, 1,000,000%. And there's nothing wrong, right, with thinking into the future and reminiscing about the past. That's not what I mean. But like, what if we just got to be with that raw human of whatever it is, because we're not perfect, right? We get judgy and we say the wrong thing and we make mistakes. But that's what we're here to do, right? I feel like we're practicing, and maybe it's like a Buddhist thing. I think maybe like that Buddhist concept of like, we're here to practice to like evolve into those, like those realms, and other lifetimes of perfection, but like also fucking perfection is boring. And that's why we come here, to not have that experience.
And to come here to feel.
Yeah.
And the whole smorgasbord of feelings that can possibly be experienced. It's like, can we be okay with all of it? everything that's available to us? Can we be in despair and be okay with that and accept and love that experience, allow ourselves to be in it just as much as we would want to be in peace?
And it's an interesting little dance to do, because what if we were all the time in expansion? Like, that would probably potentially get boring, but also really uncomfortable, right? Because expansion, like, discomfort comes with that shit. Like, let's be real.
Imagine having growing pains all the time. Like, psycho-spiritual stress can be uncomfortable. Without it, I don't know. I feel like if you didn't have, okay, there's two things here. There's metaphysical and physical. Physical stress, our immune system is going to show it. Like, digestive system, everything's going to show it. Stuff's going to show up physically. Metaphysically, stress is going to look like getting really uncomfortable in the world. It's like physical stress is being uncomfortable in your body. I feel like spiritual stress, psycho-spiritual stress anyway, is being uncomfortable in your experience as a human. It's like, it's existential. Why am I here? Why am I feeling different? All these things that I'm judging about myself, I'm not supposed to be here, I'm not supposed to be who I am, like that kind of stuff. It manifests as discomfort either way. I feel like you can't also have one without the other. What am I trying to convey here? It's like, I think I'm making a realization for myself of integrating my human perceived experience of self, as in me in this vessel, and my spiritual dimensional aspect of self, bring them together so that total self experience is all that I really need to have. So I can be with my thoughts, I can be with my emotions, I can be with my body and all of its electrical, mechanical, chemical systems going on, and simultaneously allow myself to experience everything that feels uncomfortable. I think this is my next level of acceptance and inner peace, because I've been striving. Does this mean I can now sit on the couch and read that novel? It feels more like I'm willing. I feel like I can possibly be willing to do that.
Your heart brain. It's like, hey, Vicky.
Yeah. And I'm curious, I wonder if listeners like hear the difference in my voice and the tone of my voice. Yeah. When I landed into total self, like I literally integrated parts of myself whilst on the call. I literally came into another level of coherence in that moment. That was fucking cool.
So you're just talking about it helps us process, right?
Again, magic of somatic sorcery as well, like that in a relationship that we have with ourselves, focusing on that. Mm-hmm. Noticing self, it's a practice. So if we can spend more of our, or less of our time stressing about how can I be more spiritual? How can I be more successful? How can I like be more compassionate and loving? Well, I know that the answer to that question is just get in your body, just drop in and notice. And then the wisdom will be there. It's already there. You just have to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then access your resource states from there. Like what would be supportive now in this state?
Mm-hmm. And it's really that fucking simple. Like there doesn't have to be pomp and circumstance for connecting with those parts of ourselves. You just gotta drop in and do it. And if you don't hear it, it just means you need to like do it, maybe do it more often, so that you start to hear the voice of, you know, your intuition or your heart coherence or whatever. Like,
okay, so here's a little spanner in the works, because if someone is experiencing highly elevated stress and they were to be told, just drop into your body, take a breath, tell me what you notice, that could elevate their stress response even more so. Like, are you fucking serious? Are you kidding me right now? You want me to get in my body? Do you realize what's going on? So there's a massive, I guess, like high beta brain waves are like really, really active in that state. And it's, even those alpha brain waves exist at the same time, the beta is like super, super dominant. So if the stress and the nervous system response is really dominant, it's again, it's like, how do you go from despair to hope? It's like, how do you drop down from beta into an alpha brainwave, paying attention to what is present? Now, if that has to be in beta flavor, you know, beta flavor is like all the thoughts, vocalizing like everything that's going on, what you're thinking about, what you believe to be true, what you're witnessing on the external world, you know, it's very external and it's quite heady. And it has a stress charge to it. If the head, as in not the head, heart, brain, if the head, the mind, the conscious mind, that's what I'm trying to refer to here. If the conscious mind can just have its voice and at some point be done because it's said all it had to say, it can be like, okay, conscious mind, thank you, hear you. Okay, now, gut, what do you feel about all that just was shared? And then I feel like conscious mind can like, oh, well, I had my say. And even if it doesn't want to listen, it's like, okay, fair enough. Gut can talk now. I just wonder if we can let the conscious mind do what it has to say, have its rant. Sometimes, Joe, you'll call me and you'll be like, oh, that was a big rant. Sorry about the rant. And I'm like, never apologize for the rants. Like, this is how some of us process. Some of us are outward processors, and it really helps our conscious mind to just blare, so long as we're not doing it in a harmful way, right? Like, P.S. Joe never does any harm in ranting. It's the sweetest little rant. But your conscious mind felt heard. And then we can ask subconscious to start having a voice in there. There was a question that a student asked me on a call yesterday of how can you determine, because the question was, how did you know when to shift the focus, the direction of the call, the inquiry? And I said, I didn't shift the focus. I noticed something within the client. There was sensory acuity. I was watching physiological changes. I was listening to the tone of the voice. I was listening to or watching kind of things spark off in their minds cognitively. And I said, I didn't know when to change the direction. The client changed the direction because all of a sudden I could hear the subconscious mind talking. There was a very distinct crossover from conscious mind speak to subconscious mind speak. And sometimes the superconscious mind also kind of plays a part in that. You can see it physiologically speaking and you can hear it. So the question in the chat was, how do you know the difference between the voice of the conscious mind and the voice of the subconscious mind? And if you were to listen back to this replay of this episode, you would have heard it. Before I integrated those parts, conscious mind was taking the lead. Afterwards, during, subconscious was playing out its thing. Afterwards, superconscious heart finally had a voice. And you could hear it literally in the tone of one's voice. Think if you're watching, if this ever comes into video and you're watching the video right now, there's like sparks that you can see firing off, awarenesses. Things land into our conversation that we're surprised by. Like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Oh, interesting that I said that. I wonder what, So here's another practice that you can put into your play, I guess, in a relationship play is, how am I speaking? What's the tone of my voice? Am I surprised by what I'm saying? Was that an intuitive hunch? Was it judgy? Was it no? Was it helpful? Yes, probably intuition. Start playing with all the dialogue that is happening in your head and in your heart, by the way, and in your gut too. And every energy center of your being, every cell has a voice. Every cell makes a sound. It vibrates in its own unique frequency. Listen. Thank you for listening to my rant.
It was a good rant, but that's a great point. And I think it's important, right? The quality of what is coming through is important. I think we focus a lot on quantity, right? More, more, more. But what is the quality of what you're experiencing? Like what is, and when I say quality, I mean, yes, quality in the literal definition, but also quality in terms of like when our ego speaks, oftentimes it can be kind of a jerk. Versus, because this was when I was, especially when I was teaching tarot and like first starting to teach about shadow divination, was just like, how do you know? How do you know the difference between what your intuition sounds like and what your ego sounds like? And I'm like, wow, I never thought about that, because I just sort of know what they both sound like. So the quality of the things that my ego says to me is very different from the quality of the things that I hear or receive from other sources of information, internal sources of information. So that's another thing to recognize as well, is like, when we are, like you were saying, was that judgmental? Was that helpful? Was that, you know, it's important to notice that, in addition to what messages you're actually receiving as well.
And what your right and left brain hemispheres make sense of it as, yes, how your subconscious mind is filtering it through all of its programming. Oh, then this is why we geek out so much. And this is why, like, I have to admit that NLP is like, oh, that secret sauce that I really love to explore, because it is helping me to understand all of those unspoken languages and dialogues that I'm not only having with myself, but with others. So we started talking about comfort zones and stress zones and when stress is beneficial, just like primal instincts are incredibly fucking beneficial. We always want to listen to that. And then when it becomes either a crutch for avoiding discomfort, or when it becomes like your familiar modus operandi, and that's all you know life to be, is just permanent high stress, when it becomes life-threatening. So I think you and I agree that stress, whether long-term or short-term, can be beneficial in context. And stretching comfort zones is encouraged, preventing the snap, if possible. And the other thing that I'm taking away is from this is polarity. All the dualistic aspects of self are the whole. It's the total self. It's everything. So inside of our comfort zones, let's call our comfort zone the auric field. Inside of our auric field, can we be with everything in it? Accepting and loving of every cell frequency, expanded state, contracted state. Can we be with it all? Because that's what human is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm taking away with this.
Yeah. Yeah. You dropped some wisdom. I agree. I think it's always a good reminder, right? To like to remember to be with all of it, that the duality is the whole. And we may not love it all the time, but that's not really what we're not really supposed to. There's very little, I feel like, that we're supposed to do all the time, right? Breathing. Like, that's one.
Constant change. Like,
yeah,
it's one thing in life that is really certain, is that it's like there's going to be a change in the process.
Yeah, always.
With that looks, yeah.
Yeah.
And our perceived experience of that can be influenced by our energetic states. And if we can tap into the most supportive, resourceful state at the time, great.
Yeah.
Work with what we have. We are resourceful, resilient beings. We have everything we need. So for our listeners tuning in, thank you. We are here to support you and wherever you are at, any degrees of stress or resource states that you're in, whether they be unsupportive or supportive. Tapwu is a space where you can bring all of you and know that you are completely accepted in your entirety, your total self. So whether you're listening in, reading emails that Joe's dropping into your inbox, or even if you're inside like spaces and offerings that we have available, even if you're just dropping into the Tapwu Instagram, know that we care, support you in your total self. We'll always have all of you.
Absolutely. And we would also on that note, like, love to invite you to share with us, whether that's on the Facebook page, our Facebook group, or on Insta, wherever you happen to be finding this, to share your thoughts, your perceptions, your opinions, because we're here for the conversation. Otherwise, it's just an echo chamber. We want to talk about it. We love this stuff, and we love hearing how other people perceive and what their opinions are and what their experience has been. So we also want to hear from you about it.
Yeah, because we are only two people with six brains. So we are only several billion zillion neurons. So we need your contribution as well. We love you. Joe's going to giggle off the call. We love you so much. And we'll see you on the next episode. Mwah. Go well.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed hanging out with me as much as I enjoyed recording this for you. And it would just mean the absolute world to me if you could go ahead and hit subscribe. And also, oh my gosh, you'd be the best ever if you could leave a review saying what you love most about this show. And of course, feel free to share this with your biz besties, your mom, your dog, anyone who you think would benefit from popping their earbuds in and taking a little listen. I appreciate you so, so much. And if you want to come and hang out with me on the interwebs, do some stalking, do some creeping, then you can find me at Lexi D'Angelo on Instagram, LexiDangelo. And also on Facebook, you can find me facebook.com/TheLexiDangelo. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I will see you next time.